Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Hello to you, Sarah.
Good day, my friend.
And hello to you, Chris.
Hello, mate.
Whether you're at one of life's crossroads or not, the option of changing direction is always there. Sticking with what you've got is often seen as the easy option. But as any wise person will tell you, don't stay too long at the fair. Today, we're answering this question. When is it time to walk away?
Oh, I'm quite good at walking away from things. I'm definitely, yeah, I'm definitely like quite quick to say that's not working. I'm off. I'm going to find something that does work or that's, you know, better.
Do you think you're too quick at walking away?
Ooh.
I'm not rash. Mm. I don't think I'm hasty, but I am quite, I'm quite quickly prepared to walk away, although I think I'll go through a process to get there. Mm-hmm. But I just think life's too short to pour or waste it down a hole sometimes.
Yeah. It's interesting, Chris, you say that, because we should say that the
this
wording
is our last
of...
show. No, joking.
Yeah. That was the last we heard of Chris. But we sort of, the wording of this question was in question because we thought, when is it time to quit? Mm. When is it time to leave? And we ended up with, when is it time to walk away? So all those kind of sentiments are in this. But walking away isn't giving up,
mm-hmm.
Which is an important distinction. So essentially, time to leave, time to quit, or time to walk away, it's when to make a calculated decision to say this situation, this place I find myself, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, it's run its course, and I'm moving on from that. And I actually think partly it's just the way I'm wired. Mm. I remember being younger and being told I had a short attention span, and so that I think as I was always looking for something kind of new, and you know, you get really excited at the start of something, but actually then that excitement starts to wane. So I think partly I'm just wired to always be looking. Mm-hmm. To the future in a way. My wife sometimes struggles because she doesn't know when I'm actually dreaming. I'll be like, oh, we should go traveling here or there or whatever, and she's just like, are you being like really serious right now, or is this just you dreaming? So yeah. Like I think we mentioned before, I turn 40 next year, and I'm literally inviting everybody to go to LA with me. I mean, I don't even know if I'm actually going. I'm like, oh, I've got a great idea. Why don't we just all go?
I've booked my ticket, mate. Don't tell me you're not going.
Well, I've got to now, so this is great. So but like, I'll be like, yeah, we should all go. I love a theme park. We'll all do theme parks. And my wife's like, is this actually going to happen? I'm like, well, I don't know. It might do. But like, it's great to dream. So I think I'm always kind of future looking anyway. Yeah. So to walk away from something for me feels relatively natural. But I do think I'm wired that way.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah?
I am the literal polar opposite to Chris.
Why we're such a balanced show.
This is why we're such a good little trio.
Mm. You're a big scaredy cat when it comes to walking away, aren't you?
Well, I am a little bit. I think because to me it does feel like giving up. Even when, you know, you do know in your head it's giving up. Often I find in my heart I feel like one more go, one more try. Maybe I can improve things. Maybe I can make things better. Maybe I can fix things. And I have definitely stayed in several situations where it was 100% time to walk away. And I didn't do it as fast as I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I am a huge overthinker. I'm a big worrier.
Yeah.
I am literally the polar opposite.
We are so opposites, aren't we?
I think about
every possible permutation of what could happen, everything that could go wrong, all the different scenarios. That can become so overwhelming, mm-hmm. that in the end you just stay in the situation because you just, oh, I just don't know. I just can't make change.
Could you
so
ever sack someone?
Could I ever sack someone?
Yeah. Would you like to almost not to walk away, but to go, I need to make a decision. This is not working. Or would you think you'd agonize over that for a long, long time and just hope they'd leave on their own?
I think, I mean, I've never done a job where I've had that kind of power. Mm. I like
that's,
to think
that's
that
a great one for her.
I'm sacking you, Chris.
Okay. I'm going to walk away anyway.
You can't sack me. I quit. Yeah.
I like to think that, you know, if it was something where I was really sure, and especially if it's your job and you are in a position where that is something you have to do, then yes, you know, for the good of the company or the whatever. But I would find it extremely difficult. I'm very sensitive, and I worry so much about other people that I could do it, but I would find it extremely painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I fit on the spectrum, I sort of veer slightly towards Sarah, I think.
Mm.
I'm fairly risk averse and fairly sort of, but do you know what though? I think, but as time goes on, I've gone into the more kind of center with this, because when I look back at my life and the decisions that were made and where I find myself, I think, well, actually, I if you compare yourselves to others, which can be helpful and to a point, but you know, you don't want to do it too much, I think, well, actually, I have taken a few risks actually for what I do and even where I live and stuff like that. So you sort of think, well, I can't be that bad, or if bad is the right word to use there.
Like when you can look back over the ones that you've done, it's almost like every time you do walk away from something, it almost strengthens your ability to do it.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's
the
it.
The world
I think,
didn't end.
Yeah, I think.
And I did
I think,
it last time.
I think I've sort of tried to teach myself not to be so worried about walking away and think about what's wise.
Yeah.
Because wisdom's not my own. It's not, you know, it's there for everybody to kind of grab a hold of.
Mm.
And so you think, well, what's the wise decision here? And if that upsets somebody or whatever, well, then I have to take it. Fortunately, actually, decisions I've made actually tends not to sort of upset anybody or anything like that. And I've not been in a position where I had to sort of sack anybody or do anything like that as well.
You're quite good at canvassing opinion from people you respect, though, aren't you, Marcus? Like, you will often call people and say, this is a situation.
Yeah.
Would you provide some insight into that for me?
You do,
you
look for wisdom.
Yeah, so I think that's probably where your decisions are often.
Yeah.
Correct. Because it's not a snap judgment, it's not rash. You've kind of sat, you've thought about it, you've also invited opinion in, which I think is really key when you're looking at big life decisions. Where you
well, I think also though, but if you're not good at, say, making a quick decision, not a rash one, like you are, Chris, you know, you're good at making a sort of fairly sort of swift decision, you go, right, I think this has run its course, or it's time for a change, and you make it. Then if you're not that great at that, then what do you do? And I think that's where I would ask opinion. So I would find that actually when I come to make the decision, which maybe I was a bit worried about or maybe I was concerned about, well, actually, you know, I've done the work, I've done the calculations, I've put in the sums, and actually this seems to be the best option. So therefore it reduces the fear, it reduces all that kind of stuff. And I walk away with the £1 million.
Do you find that helps you to identify the problem quicker? So if there's something that you're wanting to walk away from, there's usually, it's not, something's not right. There's a problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes we struggle to know what that problem is, but actually inviting people's opinion. Do you feel like that helps you to really hone in on the real issue here and then what the reaction is to that issue?
Yeah, but it might not be a problem though. It might be an opportunity. And it might be the fear of unknown that's holding you back. So if you were to, say, move job and move into a more sort of creative industry, if you like, I know that can sound a bit sort of, you know, soppy, but it's something that is not your traditional 9-to-5, not working for a traditional company, all that kind of stuff, which is a bit more my path. To leave a stable job and then go into the unknown, that's not a problem. That's a potential opportunity. But you've got to figure out, actually, is that what I want?
Yeah.
Because I could take this sort of easy option and I could go through the gears and so on. And I remember actually being offered a job I could have gone for a job in a previous company. Now, the pay I was on wasn't great, but this would have been a significant rise. But what it would have meant was that would have consumed more of my time, and it wouldn't have been, it would have taken away my capacity to kind of do what I want to do, which is, you know, more broadcasting and presenting. And I know people laugh at the term broadcasting, but, you know, when you're at an airport and you've got to fill in what you do, I can't put podcaster, can I? You know, so you have to put something. I've always been fearful if I'm in a stand-up comedy a gig and I go, oh, well, what do you do? You can't say podcast, you get torn apart. I always
they would shred
like,
you, they would absolutely shred you.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the guys that I do the football podcast with, he got, but we were at this thing, and Al Murray happened to be the entertainment there, and he said to him, "Oh, and what do you do?" And he just went, "I'm a postman." And and big Al Murray just was like, "Oh, okay," and moved on.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because I think he said that he basically worked out a job where he thought, I don't think, he thought quickly on his feet. And I think he thought, I don't think there's any follow-up questions here. There's probably not that much fun. I can lie my way around it. You know, there's not yeah. too many questions.
That's great work.
I thought that was quite impressive, actually. Yeah. But going back to what I'm saying there, so being offered this job, you know, I remember thinking this would put me in a kind of pay bracket, which more of my friends were at the time, you know, they were earning a bit more than me, bloody, bloody, blah. You know, there's a pension here, there's, you know, et cetera and so on. But it was trying to figure out whether it be the problem or the, you know, the kicker, whatever word you want to describe.
Yeah, like
as.
What drives you.
Exactly.
Like, actually, if you're not driven by money, then the opportunity to earn a bit more money is like, well, that's not actually going to float my boat here. What does is this passion or this drive that I've got within me to be a podcasting postman.
Totally. Exactly. But also your circumstances help. So it helped that I was a single man.
Yeah.
That I wasn't, you know, as I am now with mortgage and a newborn child, you know, that you suddenly would maybe not be able to make such decisions. Although I don't want to be too damning, actually, and say, oh, well, of course, after you've got these things, you know, your life, you can still make these decisions
absolutely.
And you still can go for it. So I don't want to be too crappy about that.
There's a weight to them after you get that extra responsibility.
Sure. Whenever you, as someone once said to me, you know, whenever you commit to anything, you narrow your options slightly. Now, that is not to put you off commitment. That is just the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, but I think I was you know, looking into all this sort of stuff, reasons to walk away. And one of the big reasons that talking to one or two people and thinking about this is you've lost yourself. Now, whether that be a relationship, whether that be a job, which we've sort of been talking a little bit about there, or even you've moved somewhere and you're just not kind of vibing with the area, then you're there and you just, this isn't me. And I don't have an outlet to be me and do all the things that make me tick and so on. And as I say, you lose yourself. You're nodding, Sarah.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think... Yeah, and I think you can get yourself into a position like that almost without realizing it. It's sort of the death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
You know, you compromise one thing and you drop another thing, and before you know it, suddenly you go, "Well, how did I get here? What am I doing?" And yeah, sometimes. Yeah, you don't realize it until quite far down the line. Sometimes you don't realize until you walk away and you sort of get those things back, and you go, "Oh, I'm me again."
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's quite hard when you're immersed in something, though, isn't it? Take some time. That's why I've always loved a holiday. It always gives you, like, you just almost, you're in a different physical and emotional space, and it gives you time to think. That's why most people quit their jobs like second or third week in January, because they've had the Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
They've been taken out of that environment from their jobs. Or that's often when I think most people seek relationship help with therapy and stuff, because they've had this time together at Christmas. And again, it's a different context to normal life where you're going to work. You've been thrust into that time and you're like, oh yeah, something needs to change now. But when you're immersed in it, you can let that carry on for a long time before you realize, as you said, like, oh, I've been cut a lot here and I don't really know where I am anymore.
Yeah, it's frustrating sometimes when you see a friend of yours get caught up in something and they've lost themselves and so on. And look, I know that we're very fortunate that we live in a city like London where there are lots of options to be, you know, to work in various different fields, you know, and I totally get that. And you can even extrapolate that out into the country we live and the continent, all that kind of stuff. But we are where we are, you know, and this is reality to us. And I'm sure it would be to a lot of people listening. But when you see, and it doesn't always have to be that you become, you know, you work in the film industry or the TV industry. It doesn't have to be anything like that. You know, people work in much more sort of traditional places and are very satisfied there. And there's plenty of people who work in these kind of more, as we call them, creative industries, who are bloody not satisfied and who do it for the sake of it. So people often think it's the other way around. People often think, oh, well, I'm 9 to 5 company managers. But there's plenty of people who work in the creative industries who think, oh, well, I should do this because it will satisfy me.
Yeah.
I think it can be very easy to say everyone should quit their boring everyday 9 to 5 and go and become an artist. And that's not what we're saying.
Travel the world, do photography.
Yeah, I perish the thought of all that sort of stuff. But and we covered art last week, I think. The last thing we want is more conceptual artists, but, the true evil in the world. But I've just seen one or two friends of mine where they have settled for second best. Mm. And then what happens is you get into that situation where they are earning a few quid and they do have certain things but it's hard to walk away. Mm. And again, going back to the more you commit, the sort of you narrow your options, or you certainly are more blinkered to your options. That can be what happens. And settling for second best is a real bugger. I mean, that can happen in relationships as well. But it's and one should always watch out for that, because again, I nearly did that going back a few years with regards to talking about this better job. You start talking yourself into staying and saying, "Oh, well, this is not too much better. That'll do. Actually, I think that'll do." I remember a friend of mine once said, with regards to a relationship he was in, he said this about his long-term girlfriend. Now, I hasten to add that he got out of that relationship eventually, and he is now happily married, and he's with the right person, and it's wonderful to see. Mm. But he said when he'd been going out with this girl for a few years, and in fact, they were living together at the time, which shows the level of commitment, he went, when I sort of questioned him, because we all thought this wasn't quite right, and so it proved to be, I said, you know, what's going on? You're clearly not fulfilled in this. And he said, well, there's nothing much better out there. Now, can you imagine being his partner, hearing that, he really is into me because he thinks there's nothing much better out there?
Yeah.
I mean, romantic is that?
I assume he was probably holding off like ending anything because he thought, oh, you know, I don't want to hurt her.
Well, there's all that
actually,
kind of
like,
stuff.
Staying with someone because they're fine.
Yeah.
Because there's probably no one better. Like, that's not great, is it?
Marcus, you talked earlier on about the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And I think that can also be
singlehood.
That keeps people in relationships that they're not necessarily loving. And it's this, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got the fear of the unknown, and then it feels like the opposite of that is fear of, was it FOMO? What's that? Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Like, and so they feel like the two opposite things. It's like one of the fears is going to drive you. It'd be nice not to be driven by fear, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To be driven by love. But ultimately, it's like, I definitely had a fear of being on my own.
Right.
And because the on my own was unknown to me, because I'd got in relationships quite early on as well. Mm. So I do get people staying in that. But I just also want to tell you that it's not healthy, and you'll be better off not sticking in a relationship that isn't good for you.
Yeah.
It's just like there are options out there, as you said, Marcus. Yes, we live in a big city, but move somewhere new then. Like, recreate yourself. We said about that with the university podcast, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you get opportunities. You can just start again. Like, this is totally me walking away and saying, let's just do this. But let's do it, people.
Yeah. Come on.
I think,
Like
Arthur Scar- my wife is.
Yes, that's right, yeah. You're like Arthur Scargill leading the workers there.
Yeah.
For the younger listeners among us. But you're right, though. I think I always used to say that when I was single, and I was single for a long time, that if I was in a relationship right now, it would be the wrong relationship.
Mm.
So by the process of elimination, what's my best option right now? Singleness is my best option, being single. And it's I don't want that because, we're built to be in relationship with people. I do believe that. However, not everybody, it works out like that. But or a bit to be in communication, so not communicate, community is the word. Communicate, it is good to talk, as the old BT ads. But
it is Bob Hoskins.
It was Bob Hoskins, I remember. But I think somebody said once, if there was a simple, painless solution to breaking up with someone, especially a long-term person, you'd have taken it by now.
Yeah.
If you can walk away, click your fingers, and they're totally fine, and you feel totally fine, but it's all been wrapped up in a neat little package, you'd have taken that.
Yeah.
So if you'd have taken that, then you have to go the full hog and remove yourself. But of course, Chris, one can often, you know, say, you know, what is it? When's it? You know, when's it the right time to walk away? Sometimes it isn't actually. Sometimes people, yeah. I know for another friend of mine, and I don't want to give too much detail in case, but he was very much with this girl, now happily married, absolutely. But he'd been with her for a long time, and he thought, actually, well, is it time to walk away? You know, just almost for the sake of it, and it was like, you're an idiot. I remember saying to him, she totally gets you. She's totally for you. You are completely yourself with her. You flipping love her. You actually need to focus on what you've got right now. So no, do not walk away from this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Because like sometimes there's a time to walk away and there's also a time to persevere through what is a tough season.
Yes.
But I guess it's just trying to know, are we going through a tough spot? Am I having a tough patch at work? Am I having a tough whatever it is? Is it going to change? Is it actually going to change? Not like, oh, maybe it'll change. Like, actually, could it change?
How would you figure that out then, Sarah, for you? Like, you've been through those spots, and like we all have. But how, like, what would be your process to be able to figure that out? Help the listeners.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not the queen of walking away. I think it's interesting, like, hearing you talk about, like, relationships and things like that, Chris. It reminded me of a situation I was in where I realized that the only way I can describe it is the moment when I was finally like, I've got to walk away.
The epiphany moment.
Yeah. Was when I heard, I can't remember if it was like someone, I heard this phrase somewhere that said, you're living off the crumbs. And I was like, I am living off the crumbs of what this person is giving me. They are every now and then I'm getting some love. I'm getting some, you know, some being cared for, but it really is crumbs.
And I
sort of just, there was something about that phrase that it was almost like, you know, like an arrow into my brain was just like, that's what you're doing. Yeah. And you deserve to have a whole, you know, feast. You don't deserve to just live off someone else's crumbs.
Yeah.
And that was, and I remember that was the point when I did sort of say, right, no, this is enough now. No more.
So again, you're actually welcoming in another voice, whether it was just a phrase from something, something spoke into you and you were like, you caught hold of that and were like, you've actually been able to crystallize my thoughts there.
Yeah.
Or my feelings, actually, because often we have these feelings that it's hard to put into thoughts, but then someone, whether it's like Marcus Whalen, like, you know, input into his life or whatever, people can say stuff that really crystallize it into a thought and you're like, oh yeah, that's how I feel.
And I think the thing is, there's a difference between being a little bit dissatisfied and a bit like, oh, I'm not loving this right now. And then there's that deep-seated unease sometimes you get with situations where you just, and like, you don't know it in your head, but in your heart, you fundamentally know that there's something wrong and something a bit poisonous or a bit, you know, and as I say, something that you really know probably is never going to change. And I think if you feel like that's there, it's worth just sort of poking it a little bit and seeing what it is and trying to just examine, is that something that, you know, can change, or is it actually time to cut and run?
Well, as I say, one of the most incredibly simple and poignant pieces of advice that I'd heard a good friend of mine receive from a very famous / infamous Welshman was, you always know what the right decision is. You always know what's best.
Ooh.
And he said, what are you? And he went, you know. Because he said he met him at sort of a fancy members club in London. And as fellow Welshmen, they kind of made a sort of a connection quite quickly and got on very well. And he said to him, can I present this sort of situation I've got with this? And he's a bit of an entrepreneur, my mate. And he said, I could do this and I just don't know what to do. And he just looked at him and said, you always know what to do, with a sort of smile and a glint in his eye.
Oh.
And my mate just sort of went, and he thought about it and went, yeah, you're right. And he knew what to do. I know that sounds ridiculous. You will get, of course, this is a general thing. There'll be specific things, you know, where you really need to find out. But I think really, and I think, Chris, with regards to me asking people's advice, I'm essentially trying to speed that process up.
Yeah.
But really, actually, I'm getting confirmation or affirmation.
Yeah.
I think that's probably it, really.
Yeah. But again, it's also good because sometimes I think sometimes it's good to ask the question, is it me? Mm. So again, we've probably got friends who you see patterns of behavior, especially if they walk away from things too quickly. Mm-hmm. And you start to go, there's a pattern here, regardless of the person you're dating or the job you've got or whatever you're talking about in this instance. So it's good. I think what is good by inviting people who have some wisdom to is they can call that out and go, actually, mate, you've got to deal with your... I was talking to a friend the other day who's basically just, you know, he's been trying to date. He's in his 40s. He's, you know, amazing guy, but he's just been called out that this girl that he's dating said, we figured it out. You've got this avoidant attachment issue where you constantly go through these patterns. And as soon as you said it and he looked in, he goes, that has just described the last 20 years of my dating.
Wow.
Like in one go. And, but now this comes back to me identifying the problem. What's the problem here? Mm. Is it me? Is it the situation? Is it actually, there's no drive left in it? And I think it is good to, interrogate mm-hmm. the issue. And I think that's where I like, you know, celebrate you, Marcus, for doing that with people around you. Now you probably do know deep down, and that person probably did know, but it's so good sometimes to have those other voices come in and say, let me cut through the crap here. You're actually in a bit of a fog. We all have blind spots as well. Let's be honest.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
You know, our church, my church leader, Ben's always talking about, it's good to know your bad press because everyone else knows it.
I like that.
Very good. Like, you can just know your bad press. You can start working on it because I guarantee everybody else can see it. So we all have blind spots. Yeah. And I think that's why I was like, it's good to have, as you said, community of people to talk into you.
Well, that's it, because you want to live in community, you know. Yeah. No person is an island unless their name is Madagascar, Sarah.
Quite. You quite
know, I think as a whiskey advert once said
something as well that I has occurred to me as we've been talking is that it's quite easy to think of walking away from something as the absolute nuclear option, and if I walk away from this right
now
I am just blowing it up and I will never have any of it ever, like Chris, you were saying, you know, like leaving a relationship, you know, I'll be single forever, and that's just not how it works. Like actually sometimes a situation needs to end. Maybe for you to find something new, maybe actually to have a fresh start and, you know, like a relationship or something, maybe you need to break up for a time. You know, I've done this. You need to break up for a time to actually get a bit of perspective and go, oh my God, right. I can see what was wrong now. And you can have a fresh start and start again. You're not, obviously, sometimes you do have to just totally, you know, put a bomb under everything. But that's not necessarily what's happening.
Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, let's destroy all the bridges.
Burn the bridges.
Walk away from living a legal
life. Careful. Yeah.
Do you think there's also an element of people thinking, I've invested so much in this for so long and I can't walk away?
It's not a waste.
Yeah, but I think that is actually when people start saying, no, I've invested so much in this, that can often, not always, but that can often be a sign that you need to walk away.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at it from a sort of a way in which you wouldn't look at something if you were happy or content in that situation. And yes, I get it if it's... if there's a principal thing, if you're in a company, for example, or a gambler, if you're in a company, for example, and people are trying to strong arm you out of it, and you think, no, I've invested in this, I am going to hang on in there and get what I'm owed or what I'm due or what I'm rightfully owed or something. I think that's a perfectly fair thing, but I think again that's a little bit more of a specialist kind of example. But again, if you're thinking, if I leave this job now or if I break up, the two obvious examples that we're using, therefore I've failed. I don't think so. I don't look at it like that. You've figured out that that's not for you. And sometimes it takes a long time to figure that out. Sometimes it's fairly quick. We're all wired differently. And again, for that time period, actually staying in that job served its purpose. It served its function. And that is very valid as well. You know, you don't have to hit a bullseye every time that you make a decision in life, because actually sometimes looking at life as a dartboard, as I've suddenly just presented to everybody, quite oddly, that's maybe not the right way of looking at it. And you're probably thinking, I've never looked at it that way, and I'll stop talking about bloody dartboards now. But I think that again, the fear of change or the unknown, if that is a thing getting in the way, again, that is a good sign that it might be time to go. But I think on a much more kind of silly level, I think I can find this if when I went backpacking around South America, it was like, no, there is a time to walk away from this sort of thing. Now, a music festival, get out of there, but don't be the last one to leave a music festival. It is horrendous when you see people walking around like zombies, litter everywhere, know when to walk away. And it is that old thing of don't stay too long at the fair.
Yeah, you don't want to be there when the lights get switched on.
Oh my goodness, that is awful business. Awful business. You don't want to be the eternal student, Chris, do you?
No, well, I've just finished. But
that was different. You spoke about this
right,
the other
day. You're allowed. You're allowed.
You've not been the student since the age of 19 or whatever until then.
No, gosh, no. But and you're like, I really don't like being the last at a party.
Yeah.
Like, you're quite good at being the last one, Marcus. One of them was mine on New Year's once. But
yeah, you can get. I just stay to annoy
Chris
you.
Chris is in bed and Marcus is there.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think you were fine, and you were waiting for the first tube. But I want to get out early. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's I'm slightly introverted. Actually, and I've had enough. I had my fill of people.
Yeah.
And I just need a bit of time on my own.
I just think quit while you're ahead. You know, especially if you're drinking. But you hit the point where you think, maybe I should go now. I guarantee, go now. Walk away with your dignity.
Have you ever done that?
Never. I don't know what you're talking about. Like,
you've
literally
never
that
spoken.
Would... I have never done anything.
You've never spoken with such authority, Sarah.
Listeners, you can trust me on this one.
Yeah, okay. She's a woman in the know.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, there we are. I think we've covered that one for a week. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Instagram and Twitter at AQQAPod. But until next week, when we'll be back with another question. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, good listeners. See you next week.